interrogators within the Mossad. They played with little conversation. The night ahead would be long and unpleasant. Throughout the day, Marco had struggled with the question of whether to return to Via Fondazza. The FBI boys could still be there, ready for another ugly confrontation. He felt sure they would not be stiff-armed so easily. They wouldn't simply call it quits and catch a plane. They had superiors back home who demanded results. Though far from certain, he had a strong hunch that Luigi was behind the theft of his Silvio bag. The fire had not really been a fire. It was more of a diversion, a reason for the lights to go off, and a cover for someone to grab the bag. He didn't trust Luigi because he trusted no one. They had his cute little smartphone. Neil's codes were in there somewhere. Could they be broken? Could the trail lead to his son? Marco had not the slightest idea how those things worked, what was possible, what was impossible. The urge to leave Bologna was overwhelming. Where to go and how to get there were questions he had not sorted out. He was rambling now, and he felt vulnerable, almost helpless. Every face glancing at him was someone else who knew his real name. At a crowded bus stop, he cut the line and climbed on, not sure where he was going. The bus was packed with weary commuters, shoulder to shoulder as they bounced along. Through the windows, he watched the foot traffic under the marvelous crowded porticos of the city center. At the last second, he jumped off, then walked 3 blocks along Via San Vitale until he saw another bus. He rode in circles for almost an hour, then finally stepped off near the train station. He drifted with another crowd, then darted across Via dell'Indipendenza to the bus station. Inside, he found the departures, saw that one was leaving in 10 minutes for Piacenza, an hour and a half away with 5 stops in between. He bought a ticket for €30 and hid in the restroom until the last minute. The bus was almost full. The seats were wide with high headrests, and as the bus moved slowly through heavy traffic, Marco almost nodded off. Then he caught himself. Sleeping was not permissible. This was it. The escape he had been contemplating since the first day in Bologna. He'd become convinced that to survive, he would be forced to disappear, to leave Luigi behind and make it on his own. He had often wondered exactly how and when the flight would begin. What would trigger it? A face? A threat? Would he take a bus or train? Cab or plane? Where would he go? Where would he hide? Would his rudimentary Italian get him through it? How much money would he have at the time? This was it. It was happening. There was no turning back now. The first stop was the small village of Bazzano, 15 kilometers west of Bologna. Marco got off the bus and did not get back on. Again, he hid in the restroom of the station until the bus was gone, then crossed the street to a bar where he ordered a beer and asked the bartender about the nearest hotel. Over his second beer, he asked about the train station and learned that Bazzano did not have one. Only buses, said the bartender. Albergo Cantino was near the center of the village, 5 or 6 blocks away. It was dark when he arrived at the front desk with no bags, something that did not go unnoticed by the signora who handled things. I'd like a room, he said in Italian.
For how many nights?
Only one.
The rate is €55.
Fine.
Your passport, please.
Sorry, but I lost it. Her plucked and painted eyebrows arched in great suspicion. Then she began shaking her head. Sorry. Marco laid €200 on the counter in front of her. The bribe was obvious. Just take the cash, no paperwork, and give me a key. More shaking, more frowning.
You must have a passport, she said.
Then she folded her arms across her chest, jerked her chin upward, braced for the next exchange. There was no way she was going to lose. Outside, Marco walked the streets of the strange town. He found a bar and ordered coffee. No more alcohol. He had to keep his wits. Where can I find a taxi? He asked the bartender.
At the bus station. By 9 p.m., Luigi was walking the floors of his apartment, waiting for Marco to return next door. He called Francesca, and she reported that they had studied that afternoon. In fact, they'd had a delightful lesson. Great, he thought. His disappearance was part of the plan, but Whittaker and Langley thought it would take a few more days. Had they lost him already? That quickly? There were now 5 agents very close by, Luigi, Zellman, Crater, and 2 others sent from Milano. Luigi had always questioned the plan. In a city the size of Bologna, it was impossible to maintain physical surveillance of a person 24 hours a day. Luigi had argued almost violently that the only way for the plan to work was to stash Bachmann away in a small village where his movements were limited, his options few, and his visitors much more visible. That had been the original plan, but the details had been abruptly changed in Washington. At 9:12, a buzzer quietly went off in the kitchen. He hurried to the monitors in the kitchen. Marco was home. His front door was opening. Luigi stared at the digital image from the hidden camera in the ceiling of the living room next door. 2 strangers, not Marco. 2 men in their 30s dressed like regular guys. They closed the door quickly, quietly, professionally, then began looking around. One carried a small black bag of some sort. They were good. Very good. To pick the lock of the safe house, they had to be very good. Luigi smiled with excitement. With a little luck, his cameras were about to record Marco getting nabbed. Maybe they would kill him right there in the living room, captured on film. Perhaps the plan would work after all. He flipped the audio switches and increased the volume. Language was crucial here. Where were they from? What was their tongue? There were no sounds, though, as they moved about silently. They whispered once or twice, but he could barely hear it. Chapter 27. The taxi made an abrupt stop on Via Gramsci near the bus and train stations. From the back seat, Marco handed over enough cash, then ducked between 2 parked cars and was soon lost in the darkness. His escape from Bologna had been very brief indeed, but then it wasn't exactly over. He zigzagged out of habit, looping back, watching his own trail. On Via Menzoni, he moved quickly under the porticos and stopped at her apartment building. He didn't have the luxury of second thoughts, of hesitating or guessing. He rang twice, desperately hoping that Francesca, and not Signora Altinelli, would answer.
"Who is it?"
came that lovely voice.
"Francesca, it's me, Marco. I need some help."
A very slight pause, then,
"Yes, of course."
She met him at her door on the 2nd floor and invited him in. Much to his dismay, Signora Altinelli was still there, standing in the kitchen door with a hand towel, watching his entrance very closely.
"Are you all right?"
Francesca asked in Italian.
"English, please,"
he said, looking and smiling at her mother.
"Yes, of course.
I need a place to stay tonight. I can't get a room because I have no passport. I can't even bribe my way into a small hotel.
That's the law in Europe, you know."
"Yes, I'm learning." She waved at the sofa, then turned to her mother and asked her to make some coffee. They sat down. He noticed she was barefoot and moving about without the cane, though she still needed it. She wore tight jeans and a baggy sweater and looked as cute as a co-ed.
"Why don't you tell me what's going on?" she said.
"It's a complicated story, and I can't tell you most of it. Let's just say that I don't feel very safe right now, that I really need to leave Bologna as soon as possible."
"Where are you going?"
"I'm not sure. Somewhere out of Italy, out of Europe, to a place where I'll hide again."
"How long will you hide?"
"A long time. I'm not sure." She stared at him coldly without blinking. He stared back, because even when cold, the eyes were beautiful.
"Who are you?" she asked.
"Well, I'm certainly not Marco Lazzari."
"What are you running from?"
"My past, and it's rapidly catching up with me. I'm not a criminal, Francesca. I was once a lawyer. I got in some trouble. I served my time.